let's try this very this sense of unhooking. So just feel this feeling of the listener or the manager or the organizer in your head, and then simply unhook awareness and open the space in the room. As soon as awareness unhooks, if there's no object for the mind, it can't create a subject. So then, now, strangely, intentionally come back and let awareness identify with thought and thinking, and just ask yourself, did I do that right? Was that good? Are other people getting it and I'm not getting it? I'm not sure. Let me think about it for a while. And now notice that feeling and then unhook and open space. And then come back and create a identification or attachment with this hearer, and then feel like awareness can unhook and drop. And be aware of your body from within your body and within your heart space. Yeah, so what do you notice? So you're getting the feeling of how close, how different, how, what attachment, non-attachment, identification, freedom. Yeah, how many people are able to kind of feel the, what's called unhooking, or, yeah, that's kind of a first. So that's kind of the first little move. And the key about that is that you, the doer, or the ego, is not unhooking awareness. So when I'm saying unhook awareness from thought, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you, the awake one. I'm literally talking from my awakeness through my language to your language center, through your language center, to say, hello, awake awareness, could you please unhook yourself from your identification? Okay, how'd I do that? You didn't. Who did it? You, the awake one. Well, but I wasn't awake yet. How could I have done it? Well, because awakeness is always here. So as soon as awareness unhooks from thought, you're operating from awake consciousness. Now you may pop right back, but this is the kind of trick to the paradox of how can you recognize the awakeness that's already here if only awareness can know awareness and you're not aware from awareness yet. So this is how it can happen. Yeah, does that make sense? To you, not you, but you. Does that feel like the not knowing knows that it could be true? So the awareness moving and then looking. Awareness unhooks and looks back to the awareness. And then there's a knowing from conceptual, and then there's a not knowing, and then there's kind of a palpable discovery or recognition, and then you're aware from that awareness back to the aliveness, and then you could speak from there about what you find. So if I were to ask your awareness to look within, and I were to ask you to have your awareness look, where is the hearer? So there's hearing. But if you don't think about it, if you just look right in the middle, where is the hearer? Can you find it? Is it located anywhere? And if not, what's there or what happens? If not finding is the true finding, where is the hearer? What do you notice? Anything? Sensations, yeah. So is there a hearer? Like a little hearer there? So then what happens when there's no hearer? Where are you aware from? Everywhere, yeah.
I don't feel like it's a location.
It's not a location.
Right. Well, that's what's confusing. You're saying where.
Yeah.
But it's not anywhere.
Well, you normally think it's in the middle of your head, don't you? So you have to look to find out that it's not a location. You have to look.
Right, but it's either on or off. Seems like it's a switch that says on or off. It's not a location.
Well, it feels like a location when it feels like a location. In other words, you walk around, you've walked around, where are you seeing me from? Where are you aware of your hand from when we did that exercise? Where are you, bring your attention to your hand, where are you aware of your hand from?
Well, that's what's confusing, is that I don't feel like it's a location.
Where
if it's not a location, it's hard to look for something. It's not.
So in your normal sense of using attention, bring your attention to your breath, bring your attention to your hand, where are you attending from?
It's hard to answer that question.
Well, is it because you can't look?
Well, yeah, you can't. You can't see. It's not there.
Yeah, so when you see, usually you'll feel like it is there, because most people will feel. Like when you first did it, did you feel like,
Well, no, I feel like I can, if you call my attention to something,
right,
pay attention to it, but it's not coming from me.
Well, but if you're paying attention to your hand, where are you paying attention from?
Well, it's in my mind.
Yeah, like, and where's your mind? Where's your mind? Where's your mind? In your head?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so that's a location. So, but it's not actually, it doesn't happen.
It's not
to
a
be.
Point. It feels like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of obvious to say that's where it is because you're conscious.
But then were you able to be aware of your hand from your hand?
Not really.
Huh?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's the thing, is that this is showing you that you are aware from your head or from a point behind your head. Those are the two normal things, and that the reason to ask where are you aware from is to open that up and to realize it's actually not in your head. You can be aware of your hand from your hand, or you can be aware of your thoughts from outside your head. How many people feel like you can be aware from awareness of the observer? Like you're looking at me, now be aware of the place you were looking from. Right? How many people? Most people? Yeah. So this is the idea, is that we're using these, that the first level of the inquiry is almost like absurd because you're so identified with it that it's not a location. Well, where is it? It's in my head. Well, that's the location. And then we're trying to decenter that looker, because that looker in your head is only one possibility. And when you feel located there, you're in a small, contracted, separate self that will loop around itself and create suffering. It seems from this reports of these wise gals and wise guys. But that's the thing, is that it is about location, location, location. That's what my real estate friends tell me. So, yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can't even, it's so new and so unusual that you take it so for granted that that's the point of why you're not aware of it, because you're so, it's so close, you can't see it because you're looking from it. So you're like, well, what are you talking about? You're looking from it. I'm aware of my hand, but I'm just aware from my mind. Where's my mind? My mind's in my head. Oh, are you sure? Okay, well, look through. How many people, when they looked for the hearer, did it open up into, there's no hearer, space? So the idea is to start with pointing out of the thing we don't even recognize, which is the constellation of the small separate sense of self that's so ingrained that we've never even felt it. We've never even looked back at it. Or we've taken it so for granted that this is the only option, that it needs to be, we need to notice, oh, but isn't that just me? Isn't that just normal? Isn't that just the only option? So where are you feeling you're aware of your breath from? And then can you be aware that the observer is now being observed? So just that move is actually the mindful move. Mindful move is be aware of your breath. Now notice that you're focusing on your breath. Now are you aware of the thoughts, feelings, and sensations, or the focuser that's coming and going and that's not a solid separate self? So that's the insight of insight meditation. That's the first insight, that there is no solid separate self. And then what we're doing is just saying, okay, since that's absent, let's go make sure we find the new operating system so you can walk around rather than just deconstruct it. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot I do, a lot of noticing tensions mm-hmm. just on my head. Mm. But this was even more, it was almost like the whole sort of center of the body, very yeah. contracted.
Yes.
And when you had us going back to it, it was like, wow, this is a lot of pain.
Yeah, when you come back to open from the small self and then come back
right.
to the small self, it's almost like, no, right. don't bring me back. How many people felt that? Yeah. So that's again, it's showing you, so we're as much looking at what you called normal is actually like a painful option as much as showing you the freedom, so that you get motivated by the fire and the light. You know, the fire is like the pain will motivate you to wake up, or the love of the freedom will motivate you to go beyond this current operating system, which has a whole complex of parts and safety valves and protectors and, you know, keeps itself reforming into the suffering, the suffering me that's just going along, going, well, I guess this is the best I can do. I can try to do a few good things. And then this is like, okay, what if there were another way? Awakeness that's loving and functional. So this is showing you what the problem is and then the felt sense of it a little more clearly. So the insight, you know, of deliberate mindfulness is showing, oh, calm and focus, and then step above and notice the four foundations of mindfulness. Oh, it's thoughts, feelings, sensations. So the thought, I shouldn't be thinking about the grocery list, is not me, it's a thought. Oh, I shouldn't be thinking about the grocery list. Oh, I'm not the one saying I. There's a mindful witness that's aware this is just a thought that's coming and going. oh, that's an insight, that there's no solid self, there's just thoughts without a thinker that are coming and going, and then we're just taking it to say, okay, well then, what is the optimal way to be aware and embodied and functional that isn't this limited operating system? And then there's going to be some rubber banding and reorganizing that is going to be part of the process.
There was also more flow of emotions.
Yeah.
In that less contracted state.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. A couple more. Way back there, yeah.
Hey, I'll try to be coherent with this, but I've had some glimpses of like this type of notion throughout the past year with just some different things I've gone through, and the past year or so has been probably the happiest and most peaceful year of my life.
Yeah.
But seemingly at the whims of hormones.
Okay.
This type of glimpsing of emptiness or inherent meaninglessness. Mm. Like I'm no longer seeing sometimes through the conditions and conditioning and stigmas and taboos that I've been trained with through evolution and my life. And at the whims of hormones, sometimes it's like, oh, okay, none of what I thought was real or meaningful is actually that way. And I have to live for another like 60 years.
60?
I mean, relatively.
Okay.
So like, I have to exist for the rest of this.
Okay.
And when I'm like thrown into that side of it, these glimpses feel terrible because it's like, oh, nothing matters, and I just have to keep going until it's done.
You've been doing these glimpses from my book?
No, not from your book, but just through other practices. I've had like that type of insight.
Yeah. So I mean, so that the first deliberate mindfulness glimpse of negation can lead you to nihilism. I mean, if you just deconstruct or just go to awareness, that's one of the classical traps. And so that this whole system is based on immediately coming back to the meaningfulness, the ground of being, the sense of loving presence that could be even with the part of you that feels like it's meaningless. So you'll have this loving presence, and then a part of you, oh my God, it's meaningless. What I believed isn't what is really true. And then you'll be the one who goes like, well, that's good. You know, I'm here with you, and you know, that makes sense. And you know, I see that you're lonely, and you know, you'll just be. So this is the fullness that I get a lot of people who have done practices where they get stuck in the deconstruction. And it's like you take everything away and you go into absence, and then you're in the void. And from the void, you're only halfway home. So you got to come back home and realize there's a new kind of presence and loving ground of being that doesn't feel like it's meaningless. It doesn't necessarily going to give you this is what it means verbally, but it will feel like all is well. And that shows you that feeling, which is we've been playing with this ground of being, awareness that is spacious and energetically dynamic and embodied here and everywhere and interconnected. That feeling of okayness or ground is what is the base of this open-heartedness that then embraces all the parts of you that have all the opinions and different meanings. So I'm glad you're here, and keep seeing that there's a fullness to this that you can keep checking out.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.